In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Christians and consecrated religious often find themselves in interesting situations when out in public. Wearing a clerical collar or a religious habit, like I wear, often brings along several occupational hazards. For example, last summer when I was in line for registration at a church-wide convention, at the Baltimore City Convention Center, the person in front of me turned around and said quite sincerely, "Oh, I'm so sorry, sir, you're looking for Comic-Con. That was absolutely terrible." It became so different, and I stopped correcting people that I was actually a religious brother and not cosplaying as Luke Skywalker's father, or on my way to the spellcasting duel with Jacob Alper and Avengers. I actually found this to be sometimes quite helpful as a quick explanation when I'm on the run. I remember when I was at lunch, there was a young little child, probably about 7 years old or so, and wanted to know why before eating I made this weird sign across myself. And I just looked at my phone and was poor. Then he did not ask me any more questions. But I learned this as a sign of my vocation, much as an ordained priest or deacon wears a clerical collar, not just as a symbol to the people around us, but primarily as a reminder to the one who wears it. We wear symbols all the time, perhaps a wedding ring as a symbol of our solemn vow of matrimony, or a tattoo that represents something very sentimental and meaningful to us. Or maybe even an eye cut New York t-shirt to tell everyone that you are certainly not from New York. But perhaps what we wear on the daily that is most meaningful is something both visible and invisible. An old saying among Christians as early as 250 AD is, "We Christians wear out our foreheads with the sign of the cross." And so you'd likely deduce at this point that in theory the weight of our Christian identity is not just on our forehead, but also on our soul. In continued pursuit of God, who is the maker of all things visible and invisible. I love preaching on Pentecost because of the mystical scenery contained within the lesson, perhaps. This vivid imagery of the rush of a violent wind and tongues on fire that can't help but profess the truth of the gospel are unmistakably characteristic of the work of our great advocate, the third person of the Holy Trinity. And miracles like these that are driven by the Holy Spirit are not restricted to just biblical times. My friends, these happen every single day. And our call as Christians is to bear witness to it. Witnessing the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is so heavily tied to our vocation to Christian discipleship that we profess it in our baptismal covenant on the day that we are marked as Christ's own forever, as the Book of Common Prayer puts it so beautifully. And we can witness in more ways than one, as the Holy Apostles model for us. Specifically, we have the distinct call to witness inside of the sanctuary, but also a call to witness outside. Yes, God is indeed everywhere, all the time. However, He also promises to be present in special places and during special times. We call this the church. It's worth prefacing that the church is messy, filled with broken people who are starving and are thirsty and perfect. In the lesson today, growing pains, right? We make mistakes, we hurt, and we get hurt. But that is what unites us, our hunger. And that is why Jesus instituted the church. In fact, we often call the day of Pentecost the official birthday of the church. And the church was instituted so that we might be fed, and that we might receive Him who was made flesh and dwelt among us. and this is what we call the Eucharist, the liturgy of the table, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And what apostolic teaching tells us is that the Eucharist at the table is neither contemporary nor ancient. It is eternal. It is the perpetual memory of that which precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. It is not the anathema of the Last Supper, but a true sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, where we who are starving are truly fed in Jesus' body and blood, that he may dwell in us and we in him. But we are not just fed by the blessed sacrament. We are also fed by the word and by faithful apostolic teaching, or what we call preaching. And preaching helps instruct our minds and our hearts on how to imitate the incarnate word so that he may continue to dwell among us. And once we ourselves are fed, we are called by our baptismal covenant to go out and to feed others. This we call ministry, that we might embody the body of Christ and witness beloved community. And to help keep us as members of the body, he gives us the grace of the sacrament, you may know this in seven, baptism and Holy Communion to be the chief one, for the other being anointing of the sick, reconciliation, confirmation, holy matrimony, and ordained ministry. We often define sacraments as outward signs of God's inward grace, hence why we are paired with earthly symbols that stimulate the human senses, such as water and oil. This allows for us to experience Christ's divinity in the one of our shared humanity. But we cannot have ministry, preaching, and the sacrament without the church. And we cannot truly understand the mission of the church without traveling back in time to the day of Pentecost when the rush of a violent wind came down from heaven and inflamed the tongues of those who prophesied to all people. And one might ask, how do we do church? My friends, it starts with being in church. Not just because we come into nourish our soul because it's good for us, or because the coffee's right, but because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Okay, so we talked about how we can witness the Holy Spirit sacramentally, but how do we witness outside of the physical walls of the church building? To answer this question, we have to again look back to what the apostles said. Now, most Episcopal seminaries will teach priests that apostolic ministry involves doing three things, A, B, C, absolve, bless, and consecrate, A, B, C. And A, B, C would refer to the expression of apostolic ministry unique to the sacramental priesthood. However, there is again a parallel to the apostolic ministry that we are all actually called to do as Christians. Here is what I mean. As Christians, you are called to absolve, to offer words of forgiveness and assurance of your love, to turn the other cheek, to say, you hurt me, but I still love you, to show mercy and patience even when it is difficult and especially when it is painful. You are called to be blessed. To be a blessing in the world by blessing others in your presence, by showing others the grace of God by being Christ to all people and being Christ in all people, everywhere you go. And you are called to see, consecrate. To consecrate and offer all that we do for the greater glory of God, to dedicate your gifts, talents, and skills to help make earth as it is in heaven. Now, as a Dominican, I can't help but think about our own Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, the Mother to the Apostles. She consecrates her womb to be a living tabernacle by saying, let it be done to me according to thy word. She blesses her relatives by visiting her during her own pregnancy, to which Elizabeth greets her by saying, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And she also offers forgiveness to those who persecute her own son. In fact, a widespread belief among the early churches that Mary offers her merciful forgiveness in her silence as she quite even at the foot of the cross. Because sometimes forgiveness looks like saying nothing and holding back words that bear no fruit. My friend, today is a great day to be church. And I pray that our merciful God grants us the grace this day and tomorrow to be vessels of forgiveness and mercy, to equip us with all that we need to be a blessing to each other and to ourselves, and to grant us courage to offer up what we have for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.